Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Daf Tzadik Hei, and we got up to Lema Bayev Rava Plukta Rav Shmuel Kamifta. As yesterday we were discussing the case of the Korah, and whether we could say Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem on all four sides of the Korah, and we said that that was a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And that according to Shmuel, we do not say Pitikra Yored Vesotem unless we have a proper mechitza, but we can't create the entire thing out of pure Pitikra Yored Vesotem. According to Rav, we could say, even in the case of Achsadra Babika, we could say Pitikra Yored Vesotem. Now we know that we also have a machlokas between Abaya and Rava, which we touched on a little bit before about the sukkah. Remember somebody who made a sukkah in that same case of the Aksadra? And Rabbi said over there, La, I disagree with you anyway. So we said we'll get into it later. Well, now is the later. So now the question is if Doc will just lower his camera a little bit so that we can, instead of watching the fluorescence on the ceiling, we can see Doc. There we go. So then, here is that machlokas, and it seems to be the same machlokas. The question is whether a sukkah in this type of aksadra babika, is it going to be kosher or not? So let's take a look at the case over there. What is the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel? So what you did over here is you put schach on top of this aksadra that has petzimim. Now, gentlemen, everybody's got terrible problems with this sugya, because of the fact that every single time that the sugya comes up, Rashi explains it, and it's a totally different case. So the case that we had before, remember, Rashi explained it as talking about that it had two walls, and that it had the four posts on the side, and that a sukkah with two walls plus one additional tefach is kosher. That's how Rashi explained it over there. Rashi in sukkah says that it's not even talking about putting the schach on top of this building. It's talking about this Spanish pavilion kind of thing where you had the aksadra running around the outside and you're using the outside wall of the aksadra to cover the middle, and then you cover the middle with schach. And over here, Rashi explains yet another pshat, that it's talking about an aksadra in which you had these beams coming down all along to form the walls, and they were within lava, they were within three tvachim of each other, and that would be what makes it kosher. Now, that's a little bit crazy for every single case to be explained differently. And a lot of the mefarshim are tereach over this. I must tell you that my own belief is about the sugya is that there is no one pshat, and that aksadra, the case over here, sichech agabi aksadra, is meant to address multiple cases and multiple issues, including Pitikra Yored Vesotem, and including the question of whether Petzimin are considered to be a delet, and including the question that we addressed earlier as to whether a Mechitza is going to actually work to make things worse, or is that considered to be Siluk Mechitza, which was the other issue that Abaya mentioned before, and so on and so forth. The point is that for each one of our arguments, we can utilize the case of Sichech Agabi Achsadra to see if it works out in the extreme that we're taking it. So in the case before where Rashi was referring to, where Abaya was referring, and Rashi was talking about Abaya's reference over there. So Abaya was referring to the question of whether you can remove the Petzimin by putting sheetrock down the edges. And over there, obviously, the point is that we're going to view the issue as being it has walls, and now you're adding a new mechitza in front of those walls, which is the sheetrock, you see. So that's removing a mechitza. Okay, so over there, it actually can be understood in that fashion. If, in fact, you didn't want it to be understood in that fashion, you could have said, Hocha b'mayaskinan, that it doesn't have mechitzas. For sure. And the same thing is true in terms of the arguments that we're going to have over here. In order to make there any kind of connection between the machlokas Abaya Varava of that aksadra and the case that we had over here of Rav and Shmuel about Pitikra Yored Vesotem, obviously you're going to have to refer to an aksadra that has no walls. And the only issue is Pitikra Yored Vesotem. Now, if you don't like it, then you could always say, Ach, b'mayaskinan, b'de isle mechitza. I mean, that's fine. But what we always try to do is take a case in its simplest form and see how that understanding, which is the most simple understanding, how that understanding would fit into the sugyas as we understand them. We're always reluctant to need to go ahead and say, well, it's got to be talking about whatever it's got to be talking about. So therefore, we take our simple case over here. We assume that we're talking about this pergola. It has no walls. And the machlokas of Abaye v'Rava is about whether we'll say pitikra yored v'sotem to form a kosher sukkah without any walls. So if that's the case, then it certainly seems to be the same machlokas that we had yesterday between Rav and Shmuel. Can you say pitikra yored v'sotem on all sides, even if there are no mechitzas? Or, as Shmuel was learning, again, this way Rashi understands Shmuel, you needed to have a basic mechitz, and then you could expand on it with pitikra yored v'sotem. So now we're taking the simplest explanation. A guy puts on tzchach on top of a pergola. It's got no walls, but it's got these poles, and they're within lavud. Okay, so then, of course, that's kosher. That's not a question. But suppose it doesn't have those poles. Ein lapitzimim. So Abaye says, who cares? It's still kosher because you say pitikra yored v'sotem, as we'll see. And Rava says, no, you don't. And now he even explains it. Abaye says it's kosher because you can say pitikra yored v'sotem. Rava says it's possible because we don't say pitikra yored v'sotem. That sounds exactly like Lema, that Abaye over here who says, yes, the sukkah is kosher because of pitikra. So he's going a little bit of Rav. Pitikra can even work where there's no kosher mechitza. Masha'in king. Ravo says, no, you can't say pitikra yored v'sotem in this case. That's because he holds like Shmuel. And Shmuel said you can never say pitikra yored v'sotem if you're just sitting there with a frame of a pergola. Where are the sides? You need to have at least one side. Says the Gemara, well, now wait a minute. I mean, you're making an assumption over here. Your assumption is that they're arguing straight out about the shitas of Rav and Shmuel, which is, that's not necessarily true. It could be that everybody agrees. Listen, if you hold that you need mechitzas for pitikra yored v'sotem, meaning you hold like Shmuel, so nobody would say that the sukkah is kosher. Obviously, the sukkah is not kosher. The question over here is, the real argument between Abaye v'Rava is whether this would be true aliba de Rav, that it would be kosher. So when Abaye says it's kosher, he didn't mean to say this is what I hold. All he means to say is, look, if you hold like Rav, so then this is a classic example of pitikra yored v'sotem, and you basically get yourself a sukkah without having any walls except for the pitikra. Whereas Rava says, I maintain that even according to Rav, who says that you can use pitikra yored v'sotem in the Aksadra for purposes of Mechitza, vis-a-vis the Aksadra. And that's yes, because over there, those Mechitzas were made for that Aksadra, so to speak, because I put up the roof for the Aksadra. And because of that, we can use them. But when it comes to utilizing the same pitikra yored v'sotem that we used for allowing carrying in the pergola on Shabbos, I believe that Rav would never have gone that far. And I would have said that since Hani Mechitzas were not formatted in the original format, meaning the pieces that we have going across the top that you now want to extend downward, they weren't put up there for sukkah. They were put up there for pergola. And therefore, even though normally there's certainly not a din that you need to have a lishma when you're making a wall, that the wall has to be made for a sukkah. There's no such halacha. However, when it comes to the application of a virtual wall to a sukkah, and to be able to utilize that instead of the mechitzas that the Torah was kaveya for the sukkah, there we can only utilize a virtual wall where the purpose of the virtual wall was l'chatchila to format the sukkah. Says, an amazing new svara we never heard before. Now, the way that Rashi understood the sugya in sukkah, where we weren't dealing with this specific aspect, was that we were talking about using the outside of the pergola as the wall of the sukkah, so that it's surrounded like a Spanish courtyard. The pergola over here was the part that I'm not building the sukkah in, and I'm trying to use a wall that doesn't even exist for the outside, really only exists for the inside, but it's an entirely different So again, entirely different aspect of the same words. So as I say, the words can be understood in multiple ways. If we want to utilize this case of a circum made in an oxandra in a very simple way, then we will have to accept, in order to avoid the implication that Rav and Shmuel and Abaye Varov are talking about the same thing in different words, we have to understand that there may be a new issue with the application of Pitikra to Sukkah, where it isn't being made specifically to put up the Sukkah with. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi was pretty unclear. Rabbi Yossi said, what do you mean that if it was good for this Shabbos, it's good for Shabbos, but for next Shabbos, it's not good? That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, either it is a mechitza or it's not a mechitza. How in the world can something be good for this Shabbos and not be good for next Shabbos? Now, he didn't say very clearly, what does he hold? Does he hold it's not good for any Shabbos, or does he hold it is good for every Shabbos? That he didn't say. So ask the Gemara, well, what did he mean? Was Rabbi Yossi coming to say it's usher even for this Shabbos? Or was Rabbi Yossi coming to say it's mutter even for next Shabbos? Says Rabbi Sheshet, he was coming l'achmer. He wanted to usher it. V'chinom Rabbi Yochanan le'esor. And in fact, there's a braita that expands on our Mishnah. And it says, beferish, that Omer Rabbi Yossi, kishem she'asurim latid lavo, kach asurim loto Shabbat. So Rabbi Yossi in this actually explained himself very clearly. Okay, what about halacha l'maisa? So itmar, Reb Chiya bar Yosef amar, halacha k'Reb Yossi, you're not allowed to carry the moment that something happens to the, there's a pirtza in the wall, at that moment, you can no longer use your chatzar. Shmuel amar, halacha k'Reb Yehuda, which that is allowed for the rest of Shabbos. Now the problem is that we had asked Shmuel about this before, and Shmuel said that he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. I'm very confused. Remember that we had the Mishnah before on Daf Pei Aleph, and over there we had in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bamed dvarim amurim," that you need to be modia the person, and he has to tell you he wants to be part of the Erev. That's only Beiruvei Tumim, because over there, obviously, if you make an Erev Tumim on one side, he's going to be losing his right to carry on, to go out of the tomb on the other side. So there, it may very well be not to his desire. But if you're talking about expanding his rights in the chatzar to be able to take stuff out from his house, I mean, what could possibly be wrong with that? He said, when it comes to Eruv Chatzeres, you could be Ba'arv Bein Ladat, Bein Shelo Ladat, because Zochel Lodem Shelo Befanav. You can always do a guy a favor, and it would be as if you're a shliach to do it, but ein chavin shelo b'fanav. When it comes to the Eruv et chumin, then you're in problems. Now, I'm sure you're going to remember this, that Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel as saying, we paskin like Rav Yehuda, and not only that, all over where we have a Mishnah that speaks about Rav Yehuda in Eruvin, the halacha is like that. So Rav Chana Bagadata asked Rav Yehuda, when you're quoting Shmuel, that we always pask like Rabbi Yehuda, even this Mishnah that we're having right now about a mavoi where the korah or the lechi was broken on Shabbos, even there, and Rav Yehuda answering what Shmuel had said, Rav Yehuda said, no, I said in the dinim of Erevin, I mean in the dinim of Erevin, the question of mechitzas, of a lechi or a korah, that's not dinim of Erevin. That's dinim of carrying in a mavoi. Over there, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what the heck? Here, I just heard Shmuel say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah against Rabbi Yossi. What's going on? Omer Rav Anan, there's two different cases over here. There are a pirtza that you might have had when your mavoi opens into a karmelit, and you took down something happened to the lechi or korah. Or you could have a case where the mavoi opens into Rishus HaRabim, and you took down the lechi of the korah. Now, those are two different cases. So where did Shmuel say what we just read, that halacha k'Reb Yehuda, even in our Mishnah? There he was talking about where the lechi was open, the lechi was between the mavoi and the karmelit, and it was taken down. So kanshi nifritza l'karmelit, masha'inkein, where did Rav Yehuda say, no, Shmuel said we don't paskin like Rav Yehuda in this Mishnah? That's where the Piritza was between the Mavi and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So over there, since if you actually carried out, you would be over on an Isser D'Oraisa. So over there, we don't say that if it was good for this Shabbos, if it was good for the beginning of Shabbos, it's good for Shabbos. We don't say that because we're worried that without the heker of the Lechi, that he may, what happens if he actually carries? And if he would actually carry, he would be over on an Isser D'Oraisa. Okay, and now we complete our perek with this Mishnah and our Kapitan. Thank you, Kapitan. So now what we want to finally figure out, and we've had this issue all along, even back in Shabbos we had this issue, what actually constitutes the D'Oraisa of Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Remember, we had the whole sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about owning a house on one side of Fifth Avenue and a house on the other side of Fifth Avenue, and can you put up a lechi and a korah and all of that discussion. And we kept saying that Rabbi Yehuda says, not only that, but we never knew what the not only that was. So, okay, so here we're up to finally that case. And let's understand that there are two very different issues that might appear to be the same on the surface. One issue is a highway bridge. Now, a highway bridge is essentially a bridge that has a road growing underneath it. So it's an overpass. And an overpass allows you underneath it to have an area that has two walls, but two open ends, right? So now the question is, am I allowed to carry in that area? Now, the complicating factor is that since it also is roofed over by the highway crossover, it also involves us in the question of whether we're going to say Pitikra Yored V'Sotem, and therefore provide the area which is directly beneath the underpass with four mechitzas, because we have not only the mechitzas of the bridge itself, but we also have the Pitikra of the top of the bridge coming down. So we, in order to get to the bottom of that, we would have to gradually increase the pressure of our question. So we would start with the question of an underpass, which involves us in Pitikra V'Yored V'Sotem, and then we would say, okay, and what happens if I take down the bridge that's over the area? Would I still be able to carry in that area because of the fact that it has two mechitzas? And the real issue is that once there's two mechitzas, it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or is that not an issue? And we definitely need three mechitzas, and it was only because of Pitikra V'Yored V'Sotem. That's exactly how this Mishnah is constructed. It starts off easy by making the point that we've got two issues to consider. There are two full mechitzas, and then there's the option of saying Pitikra V'Yored V'Sotem. So this could be in any highway overpass, or, as I'm sure all of you have seen, buildings in which there's an overpass between the first wing of a building. It happens very often in hospitals or institutions, where one wing is connected to another wing with a walkway over the road pass, right? And so somebody could do this for his house as well. Somebody had a two-story home on one side of the street, two-story home on the other side of the street, and builds a walkway over the road between his second floor on both sides. So suppose somebody does that. He's bone aliyah gabe shnei batim. Or, for that matter, the standard case of a highway overpass. Now, remember that in those days, a gesher was normally filled in. I mean, it's difficult to make a gesher that's going to be carrying an automobile without it standing on something. So normally, it would be standing. We'd fill in the empty space, and we'd put the road on top of the empty space, but that's not an overpass. So the word for an overpass is therefore not a bridge, because a bridge could mean not a suspended bridge, but what we're talking about is a bridge here that is suspended or that is held up on the side. That is called a gesher mifulash, because the road goes straight through underneath it. But that's all that it means, a highway overpass. Okay, so that's exactly the same as you're building a walkway between your two second-story homes. So, says Rabbi Yehuda, you can carry underneath that on Shabbos. Now, we're not sure why. Can you carry underneath it on Shabbos because of Pitikra Yored V'Sotem? And Mi'ikar HaDin, the halacha is that we're not going to be samech on just two mechitzas for Rishus HaYochid, or is it even more than that? Well, let's see. We start slow. So in that case, the Chachamim Aser. Now comes on Rabbi Yehuda to add. Now I'm going to up the ante. I say that even if you have a mavui mifulash, and you've got the mavui goes straight through from one rishus to another, it's only got two walls on it. I say you've got no problem, and you can actually make a normal erev, that you can make a sheet of bavos right in there. I mean, obviously, we have our gzeirah d'rabbanan that you're supposed to put up a lechi or korah, but you put up a lechi or korah on both sides, you know, because it's not worse off because it's mifulash, and we don't say that just because it's mifulash that it's considered to really be a rishus harabim, and therefore, how can you just put up a lechi and a korah? Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you can't make a lechi and a korah on a mavi mifulash. You'd have to basically, we had the machlokas earlier, you'd have to basically either put a door up there that can open and close, or maybe a tzuras ha-pesach. That was the discussion we had earlier. Now, the question is, what was Rabbi Yehuda really being samech on? Was he being samech on the din of pitikra v'yored v'sotem? Or was he ready to go all the way and say that actually two mechitzas are all that is necessary to create a rishus hayochid? Omar Rabba. So Rabba says, look, when you're reading this Mishnah, I just want to caution you not to jump to conclusions. Because the first part of this Mishnah that talks about the highway overpass or the walkway that runs over the street, and he said you can carry it, you cannot conclude from that that it's because Mishum Dekasava Shtei Mechitzas D'Oraisa, because over there you have extenuating circumstances, namely Pitikra Yored V'Sotein. So Elam Mishum Dekasava Pitikra Yored V'Sotein. So the reason that Rabbi Yehuda is ready to let you say you can actually carry there is only because of Pitikra, but not the fact that there's two walls. That itself wouldn't be enough. So Abaya said, that's crazy. We all know the story that we've had so many times of that braita, where it says, Yeter al kein Omar Rabbi Yehuda, mi sheyesh lo shnei batim, b'shnei tzidei reshut rabim. Now, over there, there's no overpass. There's a main street that's going between your two homes, one on one side of the street, one on the other side of the street. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can put a lechi on one end of one of the houses, and then lechi on the other end of one of the houses, and then you just carry there, and you're going to treat an actual rishus harabim like he was ready to treat the movim of foolish. Or you could put a korah over this side, you could put a korah over the other side, and he can then carry in the middle, and there's no problem. Now, there is no pitikra yored v'sotein in that case, correct? And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda is being matir carrying. So obviously, when you claimed that he needs pitikra yored v'sotein in order to carry, you're wrong. He says, beferish, that you don't. And the Chachamim, in fact, make the point of saying, that is Rishus HaRabim, sir, and you cannot make an Erev in Rishus HaRabim. You can't just put up a lechi and a korah and make an Erev. That's absurd. Omar Lay, so Rabba said to him, I did not imply that he doesn't hold that. I'm well aware that he holds that. All I was trying to tell you was that the structure of the Mishnah was specifically made in order for you to recognize that there are two separate issues, and that the Pitikra Yored V'Sotein, in the first part, where he did not ask for any additional tikkun whatsoever, no lechi v'korah, nothing. He says you could carry in a highway underpass, right? So all I was trying to make clear to you was, when you read the first part of the Mishnah, do not make the mistake of attributing that part of the Mishnah to the din of two mechitzas being sufficient to create a completely self-sufficient rishus hayachid, because that's not the point. The point at the beginning of the Mishnah is, in fact, pitikra yored v'sotein. I never meant to imply that he doesn't hold that two mechitzas are a rishus hayachid. So what I was saying was, miayhi, from that braita, which I know perfectly well, as you well you know, we've discussed it, of course, in yes, there he's making it clear that midyaraisa is rishus hayachid. All I meant was that from our Mishnah, the case of the overpass That doesn't prove anything. Because over there, since anyway he's going to be relying on Pit Tikra for this halacha and not require any additional tikkun, so that might be the whole point. Maybe even if he wouldn't hold that two mechitzas are considered to be meteorites, rishus hayachid, he would still say Pit Tikra yored v'sotin. That's all I was saying. Omer Rav Ashi, for sure. Because the Mishnah is absolutely built around what it is that Rava is explaining is the point. Because look at the way that the Mishnah is meduyak. Mazisa nami daika. Because the Mishnah says, look at the words. And furthermore, va'od, omer Rabbi Yehuda. Now, va'od means I'm adding something, right? Okay, tell me what you're adding. Then, ma'arvim b'movay ha'mefulash, v'chachamim osrim. What are you adding? You see, if the first part of the Mishnah was talking about carrying with the two walls, and that's sufficient to carry in the middle of Rishus HaRabim and to turn it into Rishus HaYochid, this is a pretty stupid va'od, isn't it? I'm not adding anything. I'm repeating the halacha in a lesser case. So what's the va'od? If the first part of the Mishnah was predicated on the overpass issue providing me a pitikra yored v'sotem, then Rabbi Yehuda would want to expand and say, now look, over there you've got pitikra yored v'sotem. You don't need any further tikkun. I want to add that even if you don't have a pitikra yored v'sotem, and you have to be samech on the fact that you have two mechitzas, I want you to know you could even make a shituf in a mavoi like that, but of course it would require the additional classic lechi or korah, yes. So then it would explain why Rabbi Yehuda feels he's adding something by saying the word va'od amar Rabbi Yehuda. But if you're going to tell me that I am meant to understand the first case as necessarily being predicated on two mechitzas, being midiraisa rishus hayachid, then what is the meaning of the word va'od? My va'od, you're not adding. You're just bringing another example of the same yesod. So shmamina, it's clear that the Mishnah went out of its way to make itself understood as a gradual building up of the issues, which is basically what Rava was pointing out. And that is indeed the entire issue. Must be. Okay, so that's a beautiful diuk. And that brings us to, Sir Richard, get ready, Hadron alach kol gagot ha'ir. Ah, so now we bring in, as a closing, we bring in issues that really have a lot to do both with Shabbos and with Erevin, in which we're going to worry about carrying. So carrying in cases where we're dealing with the simple issue of Rishus Ram, Rishus HaYochid, and carrying where we have the extended concept of carrying in our extended idea of Rishus HaYochid to semi-Rishus HaYochid. And we start off with the difficult situations where we're going to have to be matir, a carrying that normally would never have been matir. So here we run into the problem. Somebody is walking along outside, and he finds tefillin. Now, those tefillin are very disturbing to be found outside in the field. They can be easily dragged away by dogs and be mechulal or be stolen and so on. We'll see that there's different dinim of what it is exactly that we have to be chayish for. But you find tefillin in the middle of a karmelis or a shesarabim you're not allowed to carry. So what can you do about those poor tefillin? You can wear them. And you could carry them into town by wearing them. Of course, you can only bring them in one pair at a time. So you put on a shal yad and a shal rosh, and you walk in. And if there were more, so then you walk back out and you put on another pair. So now, normally, of course, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Now, there's two issues. One issue is there a mitzvah b'chlal to wear tefillin on Shabbos? That's the question of whether Shabbat zman tefillini or not. And that had to do with how it is that we're derish the pasuk of Ot. Do we say that if there's an Ot of Shabbat, that there's no din of Ot of Tefillin or not? Even if Shabbat is the Zman of Tefillin, we still don't wear Tefillin on Shabbos. Why is that? If you recall, we had before the discussion. Since there are situations in which you need to remove your tefillin, so let's say you need to use a bathroom, then you would be taking off your tefillin. And then we're chayish, as in all cases where things could be removed in Rosh Hashanah, in the end you end up carrying them, we answer that type of carrying. We have tons and tons of examples of that, right? So the wearing of tefillin, even if Shabbat is mat tefillin, is still usur to carry your tefillin outside. But the opposite is also true. Even if Shabbat is not zman tefillin, that does not mean that when you carry tefillin, when you're wearing tefillin outside, that necessarily you're going to be over on an iser, because what are you doing wearing something that is not mechuyev to be worn on Shabbos? Because the fact is that tefillin are also a kishut or a beged. They're the way that you normally dress b'chol. And so even if they're not a mitzvah now, but they still would be considered to be something that is decorative and therefore be either a takshit or an actual beged if it's derech malbush. And because of that, you wouldn't be doing anything wrong. So therefore, you should be able to wear those tefillin. Now, normally we don't let you, but I mean, we would say to you, in order to save these tefillin, the Rabbanan are not going to be makbid on their gezeira of maybe you're going to end up taking off the tefillin. And furthermore, they are certainly not going to be makbid on not putting on a type of takshit that you might end up leaving outside. That they're not going to be makbid on. So then that means, for the sake of your tefillin, that they shouldn't be mechulalin, the Rabbanan were matir whatever issue is involved. Now, Rabbi Gamliel says, you should bring these tefillin in two pairs at a time. I think we're just going to try to figure out what is special about two pairs. So, where do we say that you're supposed to go ahead and carry these tefillin in on Shabbos? That's only if they were for sure tefillin. In order to know that they were for, now, why do we say for sure tefillin? Because people, just like today, where they make bar mitzvah cakes with tefillin made out of cake, right? So people used to make these kamiyas, and they would make the kamiya like it was shaped like tefillin. So because of that, it was difficult to know whether what you find lying out there, are they really tefillin, or are they just some cheapo kamiya that's maybe made out of plastic or something, and it isn't tefillin at all? In which case, over there, it could be really carrying, maybe, and then we might even be an issur d'oraisa. That we'll see later on. So you have to first be able to ascertain that these are really tefillin. The way that you could tell that they're really tefillin is that they are marked with the ritzuis and the knots of the tefillin. So you can see that there were real kesher shel tefillin once used on this tefillin. So, okay, wow, they must be really tefillin. But if all you find is like this brand new, beautiful, plasticky-looking tefillin, and those could definitely be bar mitzvah cake decorations, and therefore the last thing you want to do is carrying them on Shabbat. So if there were chadashot, now the Mishnah says it's potter, but as Tosis points out, it's not so simple, it's just a question of potter. It may actually be usur, as the Gemara is going to discuss later on. How about if you find like a whole pile of these tefillin? There's dozens, and there's no way that you're going to be able to get them all in to town on Shabbos by going back and forth. So then you have to stay out there with them and make sure that nobody gets to them or no doggies pick them up or whatever the case may be. Okay, so now the question is, continues the Gemara, what if it's dangerous to stay out there? It could be dangerous because there's, I don't know, muggers, or maybe because there's a gezeira about being out there with tefillin. But whatever it is, if it's a time of sakana, so then there's nothing much you can do if you got all of these tefillin. Try to cover them up as best as you can so that at least they won't be walked away with, and leave them there. The Gemara is going to ask, well, why not at least bring in as much as you can? That we'll all discuss later. Rabbi Shimon says, look, there's another way to deal with this. You could get a bunch of people that would make a line from where you are all the way up to the city, and then you could pass them very quickly as a chain. What's the word that I'm looking for, you know, with the manufacturing on a Oh, come on. Come on. What did Ford come up with on the factory where he put? Yes, thank you. You could have an assembly line. Oh, gosh, this aphasia is getting worse. So you could have an assembly line where you have people that are lined up and you just pass them. And then nobody's carrying them arba amis b'shus harabim. And so then you could bring them all in very, very quickly. So that would be efficient. So you could do that. You could give it to a guy, no, no, lo chavero, chavero, lo chavero. And this, they keep passing one to another until you get to the chotzer chitzona in the area. And then obviously the last guy can't actually put them there because then he would be taking from a rishisarabim where he's standing. But what he would do is he could put his hand in and have somebody else take it off. So that way he would be only doing, he wouldn't be doing the hanocha like in the beginning, even though that's also lechatchila, but we would allow it as well for the saving of the tefillin. So as we're being matir any aspect of tiltul or of chutzah, that's only derabbanan for the tzorach of the tefillin. Now, this would be a common problem if you happen to be walking outdoors on Shabbos and your wife has a baby unexpectedly. How do you get the baby into town? So this would be the best way to get the baby into town. Not wear the baby around your head like tefillin. That's not what it's referring to, but rather pass the baby with your friends. Bachas, bachas mi, arba amas, so you get into town. So there too, the same thing would be chen beno. You give the baby to your friend and your friend to a friend, and you could keep on going even 100 friends. Of course, it's a problem. Why does it say even 100 friends on the baby and it doesn't say 100 friends on the tefillin? All of this we'll discuss later. Rabbi Yehuda, you could actually give a barrel to somebody and he could pass it on to somebody else. And that would be true even if it's going to end up taking the barrel outside of the tchum of where it was, because now the barrel is going to be going according to the tchum of the guy that I'm giving it to. Amrullah said the Chachamim, that's not true. A chafetz, like a barrel, gets the tchum of the owner. And so it can't go further than the tchum of the original Baalim. Lo talech zu yoter miragli baalea. Okay, so now let's, before we get to the later things and the barrels and so on, let's try to figure out what the difference is between one pair of tefillin, two pairs of tefillin, and three pairs of tefillin. I mean, the Tanakhama said you've got to wear them only one pair at a time. It's very carefully to make that clear to you. Zug, zug, one pair at a time. So, I mean, one pair at a time, and it doesn't say who says that. It's just Tanakhama. Normally, the Tanakhama is Rebbe Meir, right? But this can't be Rebbe Meir, which is strange. We know it is. But it seems to be that the Tanakhama is Bedafka, not Rebbe Meir. Because remember we had the whole sugya about a fire and what you're allowed to carry out to a chutzer in the event of a fire. So Rebbe Meir was the one who said over there, didn't Rebbe Meir say, Lovesh komash yechol lovesh, you can put on as much clothing as you want. You can be otev komash yechol atov, you can put on as many scarves or talitzim, whatever, which are not normal wearing, but you wrap yourself in them. And it said in the Mishnah that we had back in Shabbos, at the end of Shabbos, we had this whole discussion that then, the Tanan, then once you are wearing these things, you can bring out anything at all that you need for Shabbos. You can take out kol klei tashmesho into the chatzar, v'lovesh kol mashiachol l'lvosh, you can put on anything you possibly wear, anything you could possibly wrap yourself in, even if it's like 20 coats or whatever, and there's no problem. So why can't you wear more than one tefillin if you're allowed to save even your clothing? Can't you for sure save the tefillin from being mechulal on Shabbos? Wait, how do you know that that was Rebbe Meir? Maybe that wasn't Rebbe Meir, and this is Rebbe Meir. Why did you say it's a Dover Poshet? It's not like Rebbe Meir. No, because The Mishnah is expanded over there by a Braita that says that according to Rebbe Meir, Divrei Rebbe Meir at the end, that you can take out everything that you can wear, and then you can strip in the chatzar, go back in and put all of this stuff back on again and take out another 20 coats, strip them off, and then go back in and so on and so forth. You could be lovesh umotzi, you push it even all day long so that you end up taking out 1,000 different garments. And that's Divrei Rebbe Meir. So obviously that was Rebbe Meir's shita. So how come all of a sudden when it comes to tefillin, we're going to be more machmir and we're going to say you can't save your tefillin? Does that make sense? Oh, my Rava, yes, it does. Actually, I feel it, Tamer Rebbe Meir. There's no contradiction. In the case of the question of the clothes, over there, look, can you wear as many clothes as you want during the week? Let's imagine a case. A guy is freezing cold. There's a blizzard. Is somebody going to complain about the fact that he put on four coats? Obviously not. And it's the derech to wear normal clothing, one on top of the other. That's layered clothing. Layered clothing is a typical way to dress. So over there, the Rabbanit said, you're allowed to be lovesh derech malbusho b'chol. So however you would wear things during the week, in extremis, obviously, if you're on the North Pole, so you can do that here too. Masha'inkein, when you're talking about the tefillin, it's not different. When it came to tefillin, the Rabbanit said exactly the same thing. You can wear the tefillin the way you would wear the tefillin during the week. So over there, where you're talking about the norm for wearing clothes, the whole kamad b'ray lovish, you can wear as many layers of clothing as you want. So therefore, le'inin hatzala, where there was a fire, the Rabbanit said the same thing. Wear as much as you want. Mashenkin, over here, where even b'chol, you can only wear one pair of tefillin at a time. Therefore, you over here can only wear one pair of tefillin at a time. So the question is, what exactly is the reason that you put only one pair of tefillin at a time? So one way of understanding this is that according to Rava's approach that he's explaining now, the mitzvah of tefillin midiraisa is actually that Shabbos is zman tefillin. And this is how Rashi understands it. So if Shabbos are zman tefillin, so then when we were matar them, we were matar something that is normally mutter. In other words, mi ikra din, you'd be wearing your tefillin anyway on Shabbos, all the time. The only reason you're not wearing your tefillin is because the Rabbanah made a gezera that maybe you'll take them off. The Rabbanah said, okay, so don't worry about the gezera. But that means that there was never any specific heter to wear tefillin differently than you normally would, right? All they did was they were mevatel their takona. So why would we allow you to wear two tefillin if I wasn't matir anything that is not normal anyway? Okay, that is the way that Rashi learns. Now, that is not accepted by most of the Rishonim. They learn that the issue is because you can't wear tefillin more than one because you'd be over on Bal Tosif. So since you cannot put on more than one pair of tefillin, therefore, we can't allow you, if you're wearing tefillin on Shabbos the way you would normally wear them, we can't allow you to wear what you wouldn't wear b'chol, dafka, because it would be mamish osir, fine. So I don't mean it's b'dafka, that you have to learn that Shabbos is zman tefillin. Even if Shabbos is lav zman tefillin, we'll see that it may be possible that you'd be over on Bal Tosif if it's not the zman for wearing tefillin. So in order to avoid that issue, we're just talking about the derech of Malbush. Later on, the Gemara will discuss in detail what is the halacha of Bal Tosif outside of the time or during the time. But that would explain why we're being very consistent in Rebbe Meir. And what about in Rebbe Gamliel? Why does Rebbe Gamliel say by two? I don't get it. Memonavshach, what does Rebbe Gamliel hold? Does Rebbe Gamliel hold that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin? So then by token of how we just understood it, if Shabbos is the Zman Tefillin, that means that the Rabbanan never were matir anything in particular. They just canceled their gezera. Okay, so if they just canceled their gezera not to wear tefillin, because you may end up carrying them, so then Rabbi Gamliel would have to say over here too, they canceled the gezera and you can wear one pair of tefillin. Where did the Rabbanan ever say to do more than you would normally do? If this isn't your normal malbush, why were the Rabbanan matir it? If you're telling me that Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, and af al pi kein the Rabbanan said, go ahead, we'll view it as a takshit for Shabbos. Then maybe you could put on as many as you want. But if you're telling me all we're doing is, okay, we take it back. This Shabbos, you are allowed to wear tefillin. So you're only allowed to wear one pair of tefillin. And if he holds that Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, which means that the Rabbanan, Mishum Atzola, Derech Malbush, Shorlu Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan were in fact matir something over here, that they normally wouldn't have been matir. So then, what's the difference how many pairs you put on? If he's ready to wear two, why can't you wear three? So afilu tfei nami. I mean, if you want to put on, you want to look like Mr. T, and you want to put on a lot of those golden necklaces, so you're putting on a lot of the tefillin. I don't know, you're a Jewish Mr. T. So what's the problem? So then Rabbi Gamliel should have been matir as much as necessary. So where do you come out with two specifically? That's because actually Rabbi Gamliel holds that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. And he holds that when the Rabbanim were matir, the Tefillin that they canceled the Gezerah, they were only matir it to be worn as Tefillin. So it has to be worn on a mukam tefillin. They never considered tefillin to be gold necklaces that you could put around your arm or wherever you want. It's got to be derech, the levisha of tefillin normally. So according to Rashi, this is the inyan of viewing the tefillin here as a takshit. And according to other Rishonim, it's an actual malbush. How do you wear this particular malbush? I missed the hello over there to the Goldsteins. So the question over here would be, how exactly would you be able to wear tefillin in a way that's consistent with wearing tefillin? That is only if there's room to wear tefillin there. So then why not say only one pair? That's because, as Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak explains, there's room to put on two pairs of tefillin on your head. Mokom yesh berosh, laniach bo shtei tefillin. And because of that, the Rabbanan were matir, since two tefillin can fit on your head. So then we also see those two tefillin as the derech of the levisha of tefillin. And because of that, now this is a bit of a problem, because Tosef says, I mean, how big are the tefillin? I mean, there's all kinds of different sized tefillin. I mean, people make these enormous tefillin. I mean, they're going to say there's two on the head. So Tosef actually brings a mocker from the tzitz, that the din of the tefillin that we're talking about over here is the size of the shtei etzba'ot, which is the smallest size of your tiny tefillin that you can make. And that's what it's referring to. So since theoretically you'd be able to wear two tefillin, so they allow you to wear on Shabbos also derech malbush for two tefillin. And that's where he came up with the idea of two. So wait a minute, that's all very nice for your head, but how are you going to fit on, it says you're bringing two pairs of tefillin, how are you going to fit on two pairs of tefillin on your arm, right? So the yad, my ikala mema, that's like Ravuna. Ravuna said, look, you really can't fit on two pairs of tefillin on your hand, right? However, when it comes to your hand, it is considered to be like a derech malbush, even if it's not in the right place. You know why? Because imagine a situation, and remember, you used to wear your tefillin all day long, right? So a guy was working out in the field, he's got his tefillin on his head, the whole day, man, that's the way to work, let me tell you. So the whole day while he's reviewing his mishnayos, and he's working out there in the field, and he's running his tractor, he's got his tefillin on, and he's reviewing all of his learning, this is the way to lead a Jewish life. Anyway, suppose at the end of the day, he's got a lot of stuff that he's got to carry back home. So now he's got like piles of hay or branches that he's going to be bringing home to use as firewood. He doesn't want to put his tefillin underneath things that are going to be on his head. So because of the way in which he wants to be mechabed his tefillin, he would take off his tefillin and he would tie his shalrosh around his yad, because that way it would be a shmira. So because of that, it's considered to be also, even though you're not wearing it in terms of the mitzvah of tefillin, but it still can be a place of tefillin because it's normal enough to wear tefillin that way during the week. Wait a minute. That all Ravuna said over there was that the person, in order not to be noyeg derech bizayon on his tefillin, he could wear it somewhere else. He never said that that makes his hand a place that's kosher for putting on two tefillin. And if we're only being matir, the tefillin actually as the derech halavisha of tefillin, ro'i mi'amar, did he ever say that I'll consider it to be a takshit because it's in a place that is suitable for tefillin? It's not suitable for tefillin. So what if you tie your shalrosh there sometimes? Ela must be, there's a difference. that it's that Kiryomer of Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak, Mokum Yesh Berosh Roy Laniach Bo Shnei Tefillin, Hokanami, Mokum Yesh Biyad, Shroy Laniach Bo Shnei Tefillin. It's because theoretically, if you've got small tefillin, now actually, this is a machlokas between the Gra and other Paiskim as to where you're allowed to wear your tefillin b'diavad. So most of the Paiskim hold, you cannot wear your tefillin on the upper area of your bicep between your underarm and mid-bicep. However, the Gra is says that b'diavad you would be yotze. So according to those that say you'd have to fit it onto mamish, onto the normal place of tefillin, we'd be talking about small tefillin. And the same way that we're talking about on the Rosh of small tefillin, make it mutter for you to wear tefillin in that fashion, because at least it's viewed as the way in which someone would normally wear the takshet of tefillin, putting two together. So the same thing is true on the Yad, that this would be viewed as a place where you could theoretically wear your two smaller tefillin if you want. Okay. There are some, by the way, who actually rely on that when it comes to, obviously you're not allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin because that is a Baal Tosef. But when it comes to the issue of the tefillin of the Rabbeinu Tam, where over there one or the other is the kosher tefillin, so over there there are people who will put on two tefillin at a time. Anyway, Tana Devei Menashe, Al Yadecha, what is the meaning of the pasuk Al Yadecha? Where Al Yadecha? Al Yadecha refers to your bicep, Zuki Boret. And Bein Einecha refers to the katkod. What is a katkod? Is that your skull anywhere on your head? No. Amri Devei Rabbeinu, the katkod refers to the fontanelle. Mokom Shemo Choshel Tinok Rofez. It's the place where you have the pulsating. You can view the brain actually pulsating because an infant is born without a completed skull in order to allow the skull to expand as the brain expands. And that's where you put the tefillin. So up till the top of that area and your hairline, assuming you've got one. Anyway, Lema b'der of Shmuel bar of Yitzchak miflagei. So now, is it possible that that gufa is the machlokas? In other words, do we say that there's room for two tefillin, or is there only room for one tefillin? And that would explain like a whole different approach. Forget about the way that Rava talked about it originally. It's got nothing to do with the question of is there a mitzvah tefillin or not mitzvah tefillin. Maybe the question only revolves around, is it the derech to be lovish one tefillin, or is it the derech to be lovish two tefillin? So that would be an incredibly simple way of explaining the machlokas, no? So we could say the Tanakhama doesn't hold that there's room for two tefillin. And Rabban Gamliel, he holds that there is. So that would be simple. Says Gemara, no, that is not correct. Lo, it doesn't have anything to do with how many tefillin you can fit. Because you could say that Kuli Alma is Luder Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak, even if theoretically the din could be that you could wear two, but we could say that the Machlokas has nothing to do with it. The Machlokas has to do with whether Shabbos is Zman Tefillin or not. The Tanakhama holding that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. So then that means that the Rabbanu were not matir anything. All they did was they stopped their Gezerah. And they said, don't worry about wearing your Tefillin. You can wear your Tefillin. Okay, so then if that's the case, there never was a heter to wear Tefillin that was derech some type of malbush, or that was derech some type of takshit, according to Rashi. So because of that, we can only allow one. This is the way we explained it originally. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel could hold Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. And because of that, they were matir, whatever is the derech of the Malvush. Or, there's a lot of ways of understanding this. You could say everybody agrees Shabbos is the Zman Tefillin. And the question over here is the question of whether mitzvah trichas kavona. So do we need kavona in order to be yotzei a mitzvah? Tanakhama holds, in order to be yotzei a mitzvah, latzeit, the din is that you don't need kavona. And Rabbi Gamliel holds that latzeit, if you want to be yotzei the mitzvah, you do need kavona. This is the girsa that makes the most sense. So since we're saying now that everybody would agree that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, and since the Tanakhama holds you'd be yotzei without any kavana, so if you put on two pairs of tefillin, you would be over on Baal Tosef. Because even though you're only wearing these tefillin in order to be able to carry them, but that doesn't matter. L'maisa, you're being yotzei the mitzvah. And if you're doing the mitzvah double the shear that you're supposed to, so then you're going to be over on Bal Tosef. That's one way of understanding the machlokas. Okay. The other way of understanding the machlokas is ibois ema. Maybe everybody would be actually, I'm saying Rabbi Gamliel says, or we could say everybody would actually hold. You don't need kavana to be yotzei, but the question is, do you need kavana to be over on Bal Tosef? So that would be the machlokas. V'achalav or mishum Bal Tosef kamifka. Tanakama holds that if you put on an extra pair of tefillin, even though you're not having kavana to be bedafka, putting it on to be mekayim a mitzvah, you're still going to be over on Bal Tosef, and therefore you're only allowed to wear one pair of tefillin to save them. And the Masha Ein Kein, Rabbi Gamaliel says, no, if you're just putting them on to save them, you certainly will not be over on Bal Tosef, because in order to be able to be over on Bal Tosef, even if you hold that when it comes to being Mekayim the mitzvah, you don't need kavana, but to be able to say, I am doing this in a way that is additional to the mitzvah, that you have to be able to have specific kavana for. And since obviously you are not going to have that kavana, because what you're doing over here is only being done to save your tefillin, so because of that, there'd be no problem to put on more than one. Or we could say yet another one. We could say that maybe if everybody would have agreed that Shabbos is man tefillin, then maybe everybody would have held that there's no din of kavana, not for being yotzei, not for being over on Bal Tosef, and so on. But the question over here is that if Shabbos is lav's man tefillin, and you put on tefillin anyway, so now are those tefillin a problem of Bal Tosef because you didn't need kavana? But, I mean, it's not even the time. That's the question. The Tanakama holds, even if it's at the wrong time, and therefore what you're doing is not ipso facto, you would think, a mitzvah. I'm just putting on a takshit. It doesn't matter. You put on tefillin on the wrong day, and therefore you're going to be over on Bal Tosef. So therefore the Tanakama says to be over on Bal Tosef, then there's lo boi kavana. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel Savar, that lavor shelo bizmano, you would also need to have kavana. And therefore, if I'm wearing my tefillin on Shabbos, obviously my intent is not to add an additional mitzvah tefillin. It's just to be able to bring it in. Hold on a minute. If you're ready to say that pshat, can you explain to me that, in other words, you're saying, even if you're not mechuyev in a mitzvah and you're there, you would still be over on Bal Tosef? So then how in the world would we be allowed to even wear one pair of tefillin? No, because I'm now adding the mitzvah of tefillin on a day where there's no mitzvah of tefillin. And anybody who sleeps in his sukkah on Shmini Atzeres or goes to eat in his sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, people in Chutz La'aretz do this, why aren't they chayiv malkus? There should be a chayiv of malkus because now, even though I certainly don't have kavana to add to the mitzvah of sukkah, I'm only eating there because maybe today is sukkahs. But you're certainly not allowed to do that. It would be an issur d'oraisa, you'd be chayav malkus. So how could you, because of this suffix, how could you be over on an issur d'oraisa? That's crazy. The first approaches were better because that doesn't get us into this problem of Bal Tosef without kavana, which leads to disastrous implications. Okay, Rabosai, we've got a lot of different approaches to this tefillin issue. It's amazing to find the sugya in Erevin being the main issue of whether Shabbos is a man tefillin or not, which we'll get into more tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.